But no, it's been great. You know, I think I've kind of found my people in Jacksonville. Loving it.
If they go by stats, my stats are better. If they go by looks, I'm better. Now, Troy has better hair, but all of these guys got great cases. But for me, what's different is the leap. The one time when you score a touchdown, you actually jump up and thank the fans. And sometimes we take our fans for granted.
Love him. And I love the moxie. I love the way he looks. Because I've come from the school of thought of playing the quarterback position, yeah, you got to be able to spin it. You got to be able to call plays. You got to be able to talk and all of those things. But more than anything, you got to be able to hang out with everybody in the locker room. You got to be able to show these guys that you're one of their guys. I love Gardner Minshew. He can spin it, and it just seems like it does not matter the field. It doesn't matter who he's throwing to. He just wakes up, put a headband on, he's ready to throw the football.
1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host, Mike Dempsey.
What? Just me? Hello, E.T. How are you?
What's going on, Michael?
I've already thrown you under the bus in crosstalk. E.T. sneezed within the last half an hour. Now isolating him
this
in the control room.
This is my fragrance, room. Man. My fragrance sometimes.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, it makes my nose itch.
You know what? I'm like that. Like, I don't like to wear any cologne. Like, I'm not a big perfume guy in terms of, hey, he's not a big perfume guy. In terms of like women wearing perfume, like I don't like just the tiniest hint of it is enough. I don't even like going down the soap aisle at the store. Seriously, all that stuff, you know, all the cleansers and all that.
Yeah, all the foo-foo stuff. It just makes your nose just.
I don't deal well with it. You know.
Yeah, I can get that.
So anyway, I hope you have a good weekend. Everything good with you?
Yeah, nothing too spectacular.
And then just kind of low-key.
But it was a nice weekend.
It was nice. Yeah. Were you isolating?
Yeah, right from the kitchen table doing homework.
Right from the kitchen table. All right, Fat Tony's on assignment today, so we're isolated from Tony. Hopefully he'll be back with us tomorrow. Best wishes to Tony Boselli. I wasn't going to put it out there. A lot of us were aware Tony was going through some health issues, and then Mike Freeman, who's Freeman with these days, Bleacher Report, decides to put the story out there. Apparently, to my knowledge, without Tony's permission. Doesn't that feel a little creepy? Like everyone dealing with their own illnesses or whatever, you know, if you've got coronavirus or anything else, I don't know. It's a weird area because we do talk about players' injuries a lot, you know, on the program. Some of that is public information. Like, put it this way. A lot of us here have known that Tony was not doing well. I mean, he's going to be okay, to my understanding. But I didn't feel like it was my place to talk about it, you know. So the best wishes for Tony Boselli. I'm really not going to talk about it beyond that. As far as that goes, it's up to Tony to decide how much he wants to share of his own personal medical situation with anybody. As for me, I'm still a nut job. All right, I'm still sick in the head in many ways. But otherwise, feeling pretty good, E?
What shows you watch?
This weekend, you know, I started Ozark. Season 3.
That.
Well, everybody. I mean, I've watched first two seasons. So I started Ozark on Friday. And I have to admit, I started so late I fell asleep during the first episode of season 3. Woke up in the middle of the night, and Netflix is just, you know, running away with Ozark on me. And so I had to go back and refresh. So instead, this has been recommended to me by several people, including Duval Doom, who usually has terrible taste about most things. But in this case, good taste on Amazon Prime, The Boys, which is a series that's been out for a little while, at least maybe a half a year. I don't know the exact time frame when it came out. But it's a show about superheroes, but it shows you, like, the real-life implications. If there really were superheroes, what were some of the real-life issues and unintended consequences of having them that we don't think about, right? And, like, in the very first episode, the guy who's the equivalent of the Flash is speeding down the sidewalk and runs right through a woman, right, who just basically explodes in a hail of blood, right? Just think about it, right? He's running, like, near the speed of light or whatever it is. Just destroys her. You know, didn't have time to swerve around her. And, you know, it's just, like, one of the little things. And they focus a lot on, like, the collateral damage of what happens with the public and dealing with them. And they have, like, a survivors group. Like, the one guy, yeah, I'm really appreciative he saved my life. I wish he'd been a little bit more gentle with my back though, you know, when he was saving me from falling off that mountain or whatever it was, you know, or, you know, and so she was in a wheelchair, and it's an interesting show. Let's leave it at that. And not for the youngsters.
Oh, okay.
It's definitely not for the youngsters for a lot of reasons out there. So which make it more attractive to you if you're an adult listening to my voice right now. Hope all of you out there are practicing good social distancing guidelines. I've been going to this barbecue place in St. Augustine the last couple weeks, and everybody's lined up outside the, you know, it's a tiny little thing. And a lot of, you know, the area to go in and place your order is maybe 8 feet by 8 feet and 10 feet by 10 feet at the most, right? Like 100 square feet, right?
So there's
small.
No social distancing.
There's a, right. So what everyone's doing is one person's going in, taking care of their business, next person's waiting outside the door, and then everybody else is, you know, spread out. So everyone's seems to be taking it relatively, you know, seriously. Although I do wonder about some of the cashiers out there. You know, like if I'm a cashier at a grocery store or any place right now, how are you not wearing gloves? I don't. It's not that I'm worried about you making me sick here. I can wash my hands as soon as I go home. Like, you know, I don't have. But you're there. Million people come through your line all day. They're touching all these items. Then you're sliding them down the scanner. I hope you're keeping up with your own safety and personal hygiene.
And
not for my
money.
Sake. You know what I'm saying? Be safe, man, out there. A lot of people getting this virus, obviously, and it does not discriminate. So
the
be
numbers
careful.
Are growing, too.
They are, you know, but we're not going to freak out about it. Be careful, and we'll see how things go. On that score, we've got some interesting things. I hope they're interesting to you to get into from a Jaguar perspective today. I had a couple of questions here. I just don't want to table the other one for the next day. And today, I did think, you know, they've stripped down some of the pieces that have been key pieces of this football team over the last few years. I mean, you think Calais Campbell just a few years back was runner-up defensive player of the year in the National Football League in his first season with the Jaguars. A.J. Boye, in that same year, graded out as the best cornerback in pro football. Had the best quarterback rating, or I guess, depending on your perspective, the lowest quarterback rating against and balls thrown at him. So two guys that have played at a very high level, obviously gone. The guy who was supposed to be the big offseason acquisition last year, the four-year, $88 million man, Nick Foles, jettisoned off to the Chicago Bears. So what does that leave you with as kind of a core? And our first question we're asking you today is, who do you feel at the moment on the roster, who are the five most indispensable Jaguars? Now, I'll leave it up to you. I won't be a complete stickler, but I will point out, Yannick Ngakoue is not on this roster. He's not under contract with the Jacksonville Jaguars. They have his rights if he plays football. They also have Telvin Smith's rights. Anybody counting Telvin? Right? I doubt it. But I understand if you want to count Yon and you feel he's indispensable and therefore must get something done. So I'll leave that up to you if you want to include him in your five. For that reason, I'm going to leave him out of my five and try to work with the guys who are just strictly under contract with the team. So I think you're going to see two or three in particular that are going to show up on most lists. That's why we went five instead of just three. I don't want the same list of Minshew, Josh Allen, DJ Chark. And we're going to get a lot of that. And not everybody includes all three of those guys on their list of five anyway, but I think those three will get the most votes out of any players currently on the Jaguar roster. And that includes Yannick Ngakoue, because I think more people will look at Josh Allen now and say, well, we know one thing. His future with the Jaguars is more set in stone, as the Jags have three more years on the rookie deal plus the fifth-year option to pick up before we ever get down the road. And hopefully it doesn't get to a point of contention like it is with Yon. Did Yon tweet out something over the weekend about being a man of his word, never going back on his word, right? I'm assuming that's in relation to him saying he's not interested in a long-term deal. Didn't he tell us last year he wasn't going to hold out? Was that not his word, or was that with a wink-wink that he gave his fingers crossed behind his back?
Yeah, I don't think he's seen
it. I'm just trying to remember, E, if that, you know, when is it your word when you say make a statement and when are you just saying things just to say things? Look, he had every right to hold out if he wanted to. You know, you have the right to hold out under the CBA. He's under contract. He can't hold out. Yeah, sure he can. And there are prescribed penalties that he knows what they are, and there are prescribed remedies that the team can take, and they like many teams do, opted to waive the fines for him when he returned in training camp last year. That won't be an option in the new CBA. You're not allowed to waive the fines anymore. But anyway, I don't want to belabor it all about Jan today, but we can talk about Jan probably every day until there's some resolution one way or the other. Either he signs a franchise tag. By the way, signing a franchise tag and playing under it and collecting $17.8 million, which would be way more than he's ever made in his life up to this point, it's not going back on your word that you're not interested in a long-term deal with the team. If you find that your only option is either don't play football or collect $17.8 million, you may swallow hard and say, I'm playing for the Jags again at least in 2020. Now, second question out there today, and please don't read this as me advocating, okay? This is me asking a question. Jordan Love, the Jordan Love Love Fest continues with the mock draft community, putting him attached to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And another mock out today doesn't have the Jags taking him at 9, but trading up from the 20th pick to make sure he doesn't slip out of their clutches to move up to 17 to get Jordan Love. You know, obviously, mock draft, whatever. You know, you don't have to get all caught up in it. But in this deal, the Jags would give up the 116th and the 137th pick, along with the 20th pick, to move up 3 spots to get Jordan Love. What? What? All right, so I took out the foolishness of spending 3 draft picks to move up for a guy that you're so convinced is a franchise quarterback that you passed on him the first time you had a chance to draft him. So putting that aside, asking you today, what would your reaction be? How would you feel, do you think, if the Jaguars were to draft Jordan Love? For those who don't know, quarterback out of Utah State, very talented tools guy, right? He's got all the tools,
He got the potential.
A lot of potential. Potential gets a lot of general managers fired, right? I mean, that's what it does. So what would you feel, what would your reaction be if the Jags spent the 20th pick? He falls to them at 20. They don't have to trade up, but they take Jordan Love with the 20th pick in the draft. And tell us why you feel that way. Is it a case of, look, for me, I think, again, I said it on Friday, if you really feel the guy is the franchise or the potential franchise for you, take him at 9. If you're passing him up at 9, that tells me your reservations exist, and then you're going to spend a first-round pick in a year when you've got to win, when you've got it set up purposefully or not, to be a one-year Gardner Minshew trial balloon. Here you go. We saw what you did last year. Great. Can you follow up on that in year two right from the jump if you get those first-team reps throughout the offseason and we kind of build the offense around you for a year? What are the heights you can take us to? Or do other teams adjust to Gardner Minshew and see the tape and say, you know what, this guy's a six-rounder for a reason. They shut him down. But we find out once and for all. You draft Jordan Love at 20. You're already committing mentally that Jordan Love's going to be your next guy at some point in the next couple of years, period. So what happens then? Gardner plays. Oh, we have a good problem. We got too many good quarterbacks. Yeah. And you saw what happened. You got a fourth-round pick for Nick Foles. What are you going to do? You think you're going to draft Jordan Love at 20? He's going to slide through the first round two-thirds of the way to 20, and then all of a sudden he's going to be worth that next year? He's just with a year under his belt. With no one. Let's say Gardner Minshew goes out there and goes 10-6. Okay, not trying to get crazy here. 10-6, never comes out of the lineup. We never see a second of Jordan Love on the field. What kind of trade value is that going to hold for you the following year? Oh, it doesn't. Oh, it's good. It's better to have many good quarterbacks. Okay, all right. If he's so good, why'd you pass him up the first time when you had a shot at him? That's the thing. Look, if Tua's there at 9, I don't think he will be. But if they took him, I'd understand it. Right? Arguably, this is the year it's supposed to be all about Tua. Tank for Tua. Tank for Tua. Best player in the draft, best quarterback in the pipeline. I'll respect that. Heck, I'd respect it more if they took Jordan Love at 9. I wouldn't be happy with it, but I'd respect it more. So we'll talk about those two things primarily today. If you want to get in, a number of ways you can do it. You can reply to either of those questions on Twitter, at MD_1010XL. Hit up IME to the T, at IME to the T as well. Fat Tony on assignment today, but you can tweet at him if you like, at 1010XL Fat Tony. See what he's up to today. See if he's taking care of his business. I hope my son's taking care of business. He's got like his first online class right now in this whole process. Yeah, it's spring break for a week. Then they extended it for another week. I don't know what kind of mental shape he is in.
Oh, the discipline. This is where the discipline
comes. His PE class is just like the requiring them to check in and to do an hour of exercise every day. You know, like you're left to your own devices. You know, I should be getting tons of PE credit right now, brother, because I'm out there walking these mean streets
eating
like nobody's business.
Eating it.
Oh, eating up the sweat that's pouring off my body, not eating up the
Absolutely
calories.
Not.
That's what's happening here. You can hit us up on the phone lines today at 641-1010. Also the same number for the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. Mike Dempsey, we got ET in the house. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Mike Dempsey, ET here with you. Jaguars today kicking off a fresh week here on 1010XL. Hopefully you guys are handling things well in the new reality that we're living in right now. Fortunately for us here at 1010XL, it's been mostly business as usual. Still coming in, doing the shows, practicing, you know, good social distancing measures and all that stuff. Particularly when I heard E sneeze earlier today, man. He's already a good 20 feet away from me, so that should cover things, man. Keep to yourself, please, over there. Air high fives, like Pam and Jim right there. Look at us. Aren't we adorable? Yeah, and then follow up with a little spray can. I'm with you. All right, E, let's get an early 1010 take brought to you by Hatfield and Hatfield Attorneys at Law. I'll give you my five most indispensable Jaguars right now. I told you I'm going to leave Jan out because, for me, I'm going to play that he's technically not on the roster right now, and he isn't. I mean, you know, technically is an interesting word. Just means he isn't on the rise. He factually is not on the roster right now. But if you want to include him in your five, that's okay. You do you out there. But I think right now at this moment, I'll say the most indispensable is not the guy. Like if I could only keep one guy, if you could keep one Jaguar, right, and start over, you're taking one guy and moving forward, who are you taking?
Right now?
Yeah.
Josh Allen?
Josh Allen. It's not even a question for me. I'm taking Josh Allen because I don't question whether he can be an elite player at his position. I feel very confident that he can be an elite pass rusher, which is still one of the more premium positions in the National Football League to have on your roster. So, yes, I would take Josh Allen if I were starting my team with this. But in terms of being indispensable to this roster at this moment, I think Gardner Minshew is the guy because yep. You look at the quarterback depth chart. If you didn't have Josh Allen, you'd throw some guys in there, man, and you'd hope for the best, right? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, maybe you'd get Jan signed. I don't know. It would be rough, right? Like, I don't want to contemplate that world. So let's say no more, unless it's Dempsey's fault. Thank you. He's knocking on the wood for me. All right? But I think Gardner's probably the most indispensable because, man, I don't know. I hear they love Joshua Dobbs. I've also heard Joshua Dobbs didn't look so good in the time he had in practice. Now, how much time could he have had in practice last year with Nick Foles laid up? Gardner's getting most of the first-team reps, so I don't know how much option or opportunity he had to even run the Jaguar offense. But you could still, you know, if you're running the scout team well, if you're throwing it well, you know, you could see if he's delivering the ball on time. I don't know. I wasn't there. I just heard it described to me by one person that it wasn't great, okay? But I also hear, on the other hand, that they really like Joshua Dobbs. So who's to know? Does anyone feel comfortable? I don't know if I feel less comfortable. That's not fair. Because I remember the moment Nick Foles went down in week one last year, we're sitting in the TV studio at TIA Bank Field, and we're all looking around, me and Tony and JP and Linda Fortunato and whoever else might have been in there. And I know I said at the time, I'll be surprised if they win a game until he gets back. I mean, because we had seen Gardner not lead him to much.
Looked like trash in the preseason.
Didn't lead him to many points, right? And they openly contemplated, do we need to go out there and find ourselves a veteran backup? So I'm not going to say that going to Joshua Dobbs is more scary than that. You know, Gardner comes in the middle of a game with, you know, fortunately he had played a lot in the preseason. He was kind of in rhythm, but it's equally scary. I'll say that much. So I think Gardner's indispensable. Josh Allen clearly is there. Gardner's number one weapon, I believe, is DJ Chark. So I'm going to put him on there. Young guy, third season. He's the elder statesman on this list for me, by the way. Think about that. He's played 2 years in the National Football League. Gardner's played one. Josh Allen's played one. So is Juwan Taylor, who I'm going to take him All right, it's more of a building block thing. It's not exactly the same. As I said, if I'm taking a building block, I'm taking Josh Allen. If I'm saying indispensable for one season for 2020, it's Gardner Minshew's probably top of the list. They can both go because I'm making a list of five. You can argue Brandon Linder if you want to because he is the veteran. He does play multiple positions, but I'm going to go with Taylor as the biggest upside offensive lineman that they have on the roster. And then a name that at least in the early rounds of replies that I got, I did not see come up one time. I don't think I'm sticking my neck out too far. Is Joe Schobert. Okay?
He was on my list too.
Right. I mean, Joe Schobert, all of a sudden we feel a little bit better about the linebacking core because he impacted two spots. He enables Miles Jack to move to what everyone hopes. We don't know, by the way. He's never played weak side in the NFL. We don't know that, you know, we think that his skills align with the position, but we don't know if he's going to excel at that spot. But the hope is that Schobert gets him lined up, in and out of plays. He flashes some of the playmaking ability he has. He does a better job against the run than he did last year, certainly. But he is going to be an every down player at your middle linebacker spot, which enables Miles to be an every down player on the weak side. And all of a sudden you feel like, we'll figure out the strong side, right? If we've got to go with Leon Jacobs or some combination of players, they're only playing 30% of the snaps anyway, typically, right? Because your nickel corner is on the field a lot. So I'm going to go with Schobert as my fifth guy. That's my 10-10 take brought to you by Hatfield and Hatfield Attorneys at Law. So it's got that
10-10
one early.
10-10 take.
10-10 take early on the show, E. I have a tendency to leave until like the last minute of crosstalk from time to time. But I do think Schobert is, you know, I mean, indispensable is in the beauty's in the eye of the beholder, but I do think he plays a very key role here, and his impact is felt across multiple spots. So to the point where I found this interesting, somewhat anyway, Sports Illustrated, everyone's doing their updated list of team needs, right? Post-free agency, and the main heavy lifting of free agency is done. We're just under 2 weeks into free agency, and you'll still see a few signings here and there. It'll be interesting to see where Darqueze Dennard ends up. Seriously. I mean, he didn't get snatched up immediately over the weekend. You know, I was doubtful last week that the Jags will be able to circle back and get something done with him. I would assume they were trying to work those details out right up until the point they announced that things had fallen apart. And my feeling was, at that point, something drastic probably have to change because whatever you were willing to negotiate, why wouldn't you have done that before you got to the step of saying, you know what, this deal just went kaput. But I look at Sports Illustrated's story on this, NFL.com. I thought NFL.com did a really nice job with it. They don't always, just because they're NFL.com, because they're your local team. They're not following as closely as some. Like, there are Jaguar fans. I could pull 50 Jaguar fans off Twitter right now that know more about this football team than almost any national writer out there. That's the truth. And you could probably say that about just about any market out there. I don't expect them to know the minutiae of all 53 guys on the roster, but I expect them to know the big pieces. If you're a national NFL writer, that's your job. That's your beat. So anyway, at Sports Illustrated, this is what they opened up with. They said the Jags still have an NFL-quality roster. Glad you think so. But with salary cap woes forcing them into a significant rebuilding effort, you can debate the semantics there, it'd be quicker to state the needs they don't have. Offensive line and linebacker. Wait a minute. Hold on now. Did somebody just listen to Dave Caldwell at the Combine when he said, we feel good about our offensive line? Didn't he say the same thing about the linebackers before he spent $50 million on Joe Schobert? We feel really good about going out and replacing at least one of these guys. We feel really good about the fact that we spent a third-round pick on Quincy Williams, and it looks like he's going to do nothing but contribute on special teams now and be depth for us this year. I mean, he didn't say those words, but he may as well have. So I feel better about linebacker with Schobert. I don't know that at some point I would think if they exercised all 12 picks, they're drafting a linebacker somewhere along the line. Of course, if they're going to draft all 12 picks, you could say that about just about any position. Right?
Yep.
They could draft a quarterback at some point. Certainly could draft a running back with Fournette in the final year of his rookie deal. Unknown if they'll pick up the fifth-year option. Don't expect them to. Certainly could draft a wide receiver. Certainly could draft a tight end if the right one is there at the right point. Offensive line, anything on the offense is fair game. Pretty much anything on the defense is fair game. Pass rusher, sure. Is Young going to sign? We don't know, right? Middle linebacker, yeah, probably not a middle linebacker, right? But some speedy linebacker who can play special teams and maybe develop into something more. But I wouldn't put linebacker high. But his offensive line, one of the needs that they don't have, it's really in the eye of the beholder, I guess. I mean, by some metrics, they're solid on the offensive line. The Jags say that they think that's one of their strengths. Again, said it about linebacker, too. They feel good about their linebacker group. Let's add a guy making $10 million a year and taking down one of the – really, there's 2.5 starting linebackers. And they went out, and if you look at it that way, Schobert represents like 40% of the starting linebackers, right? Because you play two linebackers on all three downs, and you play the other one 30, 40% of the time, whatever. So Miles Jack and Schobert are like 80% of the linebacking core, only being two guys. Well, offensive line, you know, your left tackle is in a prove-it year in the final year of his rookie deal. That's a lot of, I wonder, wrapped up in that position. And, you know, you got a big money guy at left guard that looks like he's going to be on the team this year. Is he long for the team beyond that? Would anybody have been shocked if they had moved on from Andrew Norwell and saved some cap space this offseason? They'll be less shocked next year unless he goes out and reclaims that old pro form that he had. So interesting that they felt like the two spots that they're set at are offensive line and linebacker, yet you'll find plenty of others suggesting if the right guy's there at number 9, they may go offensive tackle with their very first pick out of 12. That's not the move of a team that is set at the offensive line. So really becomes beauties in the eye of the beholder. I want to get into that NFL ranking. I thought they did a nice job really taking a look at what the Jags have done, the losses, the guys they've added, and prioritizing their needs. I felt like, you know what, if most Jaguar fans in the know had come up with a list, it wouldn't be that much different than what NFL.com put out there. So we'll get into that coming up next. A couple of questions of the day out there today. Number one, as I gave you my take, and I'll give them again at the end of the show, but your five most indispensable Jaguars currently on the roster. And then secondly, we asked you, what would your reaction be if the Jaguars were to select Utah State quarterback Jordan Love with the 20th pick in the draft? That's a very specific question, but he has been mocked to the Jaguars now at least a half dozen times in the last week. And that's being probably on the low side of things. Really, maybe about that many times in the last 4 days, and maybe even more than a half dozen times. We'll give you some of the latest on that connection that people are putting forth when we return as well. Mike Dempsey and ET, you're listening to Jaguars Today. 641-1010, you want to talk a little Jaguar NFL football, that's the way to do it right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, one of the things that we've been trying to stress here throughout the whole coronavirus period that we're going through with social isolation and everything, we want everybody to be smart, want everybody to be healthy, but when and where appropriate, we certainly want you to support local businesses, right? I mean, look, we are a local business. We understand the importance of people being loyal to the brand and all that. There are a lot of folks out there, your neighbors, that could be struggling or just, you know, trying to stay afloat, whatever, in their business. The more you can support the mom and pops, the local people here in Jacksonville, St. Augustine, anywhere on the First Coast, the better off it's going to be for all of us in the local economy. And with that in mind, we're trying to highlight throughout the course of the day here on 1010XL, some of our favorite local businesses and sponsors here and what they've been doing and how they've been trying to handle the coronavirus situation, everything that's come up with it. So right now, I'd like to welcome in Melissa Pittman, the regional sales manager from our friends at Tire Outlet. Of course, I talk about Tire Outlet and TireOutlet.com on a daily basis on this program. Melissa, thanks for a few minutes this morning. How are you?
I'm great. How you doing, Mike? Good morning.
Good morning. First off, how are you and your family? Everybody safe and sound and secure?
Yeah, we're doing great. Kids are doing the little online school thing and, you know, driving us crazy with all the questions and everything. But other than that, everyone is safe. You know, all our team members are, you know, some select ones are working from home. And then we also have, you know, still maintaining business at all of our stores.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Because you guys have 10 locations here on the First Coast. You have such a huge warehouse, and one of the big things you pride yourself on is speedy service. Like, if people go to your website at tireoutlet.com, they find the make and model. If whatever retail location they're not near, or they're near doesn't have them at that second, you'll have them out to them within an hour. So how, with the logistics of all that, of everything going on, how difficult has it been for you guys to maintain the same services and quality of service that you have gotten your customers used to receiving?
Well, our level of service is not skipping a beat. Our focus is still to maintain a high level of quality service with a quick turnaround time. Again, like you said, we do have 10 locations, and each of our locations, if they don't have it in stock, we can definitely still get it within an hour. We have been blessed enough to be able to have a good opportunity where we're able to still maintain business and get to all of our locations to service all our customers in a quick, expedient fashion.
Well, and I would think, Melissa, here again, Melissa Pittman's the regional sales manager with Tire Outlet, you guys are probably considered a pretty essential business out there, right? I mean, if you need tires, there's nothing you can do. You got to get them done right now. What extra measures have you taken, not only for the public, but for yourselves as well, to make sure that everybody is safe and as COVID-19 compliant as possible at all your outlets?
Well, first and foremost, safety is really important, not only for our employees, but also for our customers. So we have implemented measures where we are compliant while we are still dedicated as an essential business, and that's why we're still operating. We're making certain that we are, you know, doing a deep cleansing of our facilities throughout the day. So every 2 to 3 hours, each of our stores are going through a deep cleaning process to keep everything sanitary. We're encouraging customers, if they want to drop their car off while we service it, because we do more than just the tires. You know, we do the oil changes as well and other automotive services. So we're encouraging them to drop those things off if they can and pick it back up later. We have our staff using gloves and seat covers and steering wheel covers and things to that effect. And we're just trying to maintain as much as possible the 6-foot rule. You know, it's a little bit harder sometimes when people come up to that counter sometimes. But for the most part, we're doing really well with that and trying to limit as much exposure as possible for not just our employees, but also our customers.
And I know we all owe a huge debt of gratitude, not just right now, but we recognize it in tough times. Medical professionals, first responders are working hard to keep us all safe out there. I know Tire Outlet has extended what you've offered, free oil changes for these folks through the first week of April. So just a little something, you know, to show Tire Outlet's appreciation for the folks that are working out there on the front lines of this.
Absolutely. Again, this is a really rough time, and we appreciate all the hard work of all of our medical professionals as well as our first responders. So again, during this epidemic, we are extending free oil changes for the through the first week of April for all of those who are working on the front lines of this terrible situation. But we're also offering 10% off of general services through the whole month of April. So if you want to come in and you need to get some struts or some shocks or, you know, control arms, anything to that effect. Any of our services that we do on our front-end work, including brakes, we're extending that 10% to our medical professionals as well as the first responders during the month of April.
That's
awesome.
We
really, truly appreciate all their work.
Yeah, we absolutely do. Melissa, we appreciate you here, certainly as a sponsor of 1010. I know you do great work. Use Tire Outlet myself. The tires on my car have come from one of your 10 locations right now. And I know you got a spring rebate going on right now where you can save up to $100. There's a lot of great deals. I encourage folks to check out tireoutlet.com. Go to the offers page. There's always something there beyond just the typical great prices. Wholesale prices and premium service is what Tire Outlet promises you and delivers on a daily basis. So, Melissa, it's good to hear. I would expect nothing less. You're taking care of business with all the, the safety measures. But life has to go on for certain departments. And if you need your car service, if you need new tires, you're not going to find a better spot on the First Coast than Tire Outlet. Check them out at tireoutlet.com. Melissa Pittman, Regional Sales Manager. Melissa, send our best to all the folks who are there at Tire Outlet, and keep getting the word out if you got anything else, any other messages you want to get out to the general public through us here.
Most definitely. Thank you, guys, again, for all your support, and good luck to everyone.
All right, there you go. Melissa Pittman, Regional Sales Manager at Tire Outlet. And again, we're going to be featuring different businesses and folks with those businesses throughout the course of the day for the foreseeable future here, because it's more important than ever that you support these folks. Look, you got tires, you got roof issues. There are certain things you just can't wait on, no matter what's going on. You got to get to work if you're able to get to work. Right now, you need a vehicle that reliable transportation, runs smoothly. TireOutlet.com and Tire Outlet in general will help you on that score. So we appreciate those guys as well. All right, 641-1010 if you'd like to get in today. I told you NFL.com, I thought, did a nice job with the Jaguars' draft needs. If we're making a list here of the Jaguars' draft needs, we might put cornerback at the top of the list, right?
Yep.
That doesn't mean you'd have to take him with the ninth pick. But in terms of just what is a need on this roster, right?
Yes.
It felt a little bit better when you had Darquez Denard in, although that wasn't the answer to everything. They added Rashawn Melvin, but at the cost of losing A.J. Boye this offseason, and that's probably a net loss right now. Now, it's a net savings cash-wise and salary cap-wise, but in terms of performance on the field, you know, look, I hope the best for Rashawn Melvin. Come in, win a starting spot, and go out there and have a Pro Bowl season. That'd be fantastic, you know. But right now, cornerback definitely would be a high need. That's the first one they list. They list defensive line and edge rusher, two different things. I think what they're saying, D-line, when they mention at the line of scrimmage the defense's bid adieu to Calais Campbell and Marcel Darius this offseason. That's, I believe, when they're saying D-line, they're saying they need some run-stuffing beef on this football team. And then they specifically add edge rusher as well because of the uncertainty with Yon. Even if you presume Yon is going to sign the franchise tag at some point, right, that all that guarantees is one more season with him. Remember, going into last year, what we thought, well, we got Unique Ngakoue, we got Calais Campbell, and we got this young fellow, Josh Allen, and see what he can do. We could have a three-headed monster. Well, right now, you got a one-headed monster. That would just be a monster. Right, just a regular monster named Josh Allen. Hopefully you have Unique Ngakoue, but again, the likelihood, I think, is that if he is playing for the team this year, it's on the franchise tag. Hope I'm wrong. Hope they get a long-term extension done, but just got to look at the odds. But even if you do, let's say Yon today announced, I'm kidding, it's all good, new five-year deal with the Jags. All right, well, you got your two primary guys. That doesn't mean, I mean, we all know. You can never have enough, right? Never have enough pass rush. What if one of them gets hurt, misses a month? What if they don't? What you just need rotational guys in there. So edge rusher, you could say, might always be. There are very few teams where it wouldn't be a need, but I think it's very appropriate that it's listed as one of the top needs for this particular team. Then, unlike Sports Illustrated, who thinks we are set on the offensive line, NFL.com says, no, O-line and running back are their next two. So they list corner, D-line and edge rushers. I read that as D-tackle and edge rusher. Offensive line, just in general, and running back. And they go on to say the offense, well, Dave Caldwell has plenty of work to do there as well as the defense, which they had listed some of the needs. The offensive line has been below average in each of the last two seasons. I think that's fair, right? Not the worst in the league, not the best in the league either. And for the Jags say it's one of the strengths of the team. Well, maybe it is relative to the rest of the roster. That doesn't give me the warm fuzzies, though. So the Jags, they continue to say, could afford more explosiveness at running back and or tight end to upgrade Gardner Minshew's supporting cast. There's Gardner Minshew's supporting cast. At least NFL.com is reading it. At least for now, that's where it is. Is quarterback the biggest need? No, I don't think it is. Got a guy who, by many measures, performed the best of any rookie quarterback last year. It's been brought up many times. If Gardner Minshew had been the 35th pick in the draft and he had that season last year, you'd be excited. You'd be like, all right.
This wouldn't even be a question.
Something good to build on, right? But then it's also fair, E, that if he were worthy of being the 35th pick, he wouldn't have made it to the sixth round. Like the Jags themselves wouldn't have risked it, right? And I'll give them credit for how it played out, but Shad Khan said at some point after the season, hey, we were really excited about Gardner. And, and around the fourth round, I'm starting to think, is now the time? Because he knew that Gardner was high on their list. Like, we're not going to go quarterback early. But at the right time, if this guy is there for us, we're going to get him. And he said, Dave Caldwell's like, wait. Let me read the room here. And if that's the case, he read it properly. And they got him at the better value. But I've said this for years with Tom Brady. You know, the Patriots can go blah, blah, blah. We love Tom Brady. If you love them that much, do you risk? I mean, because, you know, I get it. You wait as long as possible, and then you take him at the best value. But any one pick before that, somebody says, hey, we like this guy up in Michigan too, and we take him, and then history is completely different in the National Football League. We never know. We never realize how different it would have been, right? But instead, he goes 199th overall. If you can't have known, or else you never would have risked it. So the Jags, as much as they like Minshew, clearly didn't know that it was going to work out. But based on what he's done, I'm in the camp more than anything. Unless I could get Jameis on a cheap deal. Like, if I could get him cheap, I'm not going to go commit the same $15 million or more that I just saved not having to pay Nick Foles. That salary's gone. Still get the big cap hit from Nick Foles. But to me, you're just – why move off Foles, who's in the building, seems like a guy who's – you know, he's been in this position before. He's a guy who won Super Bowl MVP and then goes right back to the bench as soon as Carson Wentz is healthy. It's understandable. He was just, you know, a high draft pick investment. That was the guy they're going to build around. But there was a lot of heated contention around that up in Philadelphia. But he, you know, acted like a pro, went about his business. That guy, to me, if anybody could have handled that circumstance in the locker room, it would have been Nick Foles. You know, being a backup to a sixth-round pick. Hey, go count your money. It's not that bad. Life's not that bad. You got $88 million coming your way, whatever it is. But they move on from him to replace him with another high-dollar guy just to come in and compete. And I'm not handing the job to Jameis Winston. Just not. I'm not handing – at this point, you come into Jacksonville, you better be ready to take on Jaguar King. Okay? Did you see the meme this weekend that he put out?
Yeah,
it's fantastic. What was it? Mustache, something, mayhem, and something. Gardner hugging a jaguar like our man Joe Exotic. It's great. You didn't think I was going to get through another show without mentioning Tiger King today, did you? Come on, E. How much do you watch any more of it this weekend?
No, it was too small.
Man, come on. You're not living the best life right now. Anyway, if you come into Jacksonville as a quarterback right now, that's the guy you got to knock off the totem pole. You're not being handed anything. I don't care if you're Cam Newton, Jameis Winston, Andy Dalton, Jordan Love, Tua Tagovailoa, whoever you are, if or some mid-round pick, whatever. Gardner is the guy walking in the door. Doesn't get to stay the guy just because. You didn't want Nick Foles to stay the guy just because, right? He was the guy last year. No. If he gets beat out, so be it. That's life in the big city. He's got thick skin. He'll handle it, right? But if Jameis Winston wants to come here, and look, anything he makes, he's going to make more than Gardner Minshew, wherever he signs, based on his status as a veteran. To pay Jameis Winston $8 million, I don't care. I'm okay with that as an insurance policy with upside, and let him go battle it out. I think it's going to be tough anyway as a new quarterback in a new situation. If this whole situation plays out in the National Football League where there's no OTAs, no mini camps, when are you going to have time to learn a new offense and overtake the incumbent starter? Good luck with that, right? So, you know, if I'm Jameis, I'm probably sitting back waiting for an injury in training camp, honestly. You know, unless I find a really great – a lot of people have said, well, can he go to Pittsburgh and kind of sit behind Roethlisberger and mentor for a year? I don't know if people brought this up or not before, but seriously, if you want those old rape allegations against Roethlisberger to get brought up, go sign Jameis Winston up in Pittsburgh. Seriously. Could that team do that? Could they really do that and have two guys that have been accused of rape on their quarterback depth chart? And, I mean, granted, not convicted, but –
once that label is slapped on you?
I mean, it's just if fair or unfair, I'm just saying, PR-wise, I don't. Can you do that if you're Pittsburgh? Anyway, Cam, same thing. I might wait till training camp, see if somebody gets hurt, you know, unless somebody comes along with the right offer in the meantime, but gives you a chance to come in and start. But I'm not handing the keys to anybody. I'm handing the keys to Gardner, and saying, don't run us into the ditch over here. If you do, we'll take the keys away. But for now, walking in the door, you're a guy. And so I'm glad they don't list that as a need, and they do recognize this is Minshew's team, at least for the time being, as it's presently constituted. Let's get him a few weapons around him. We'll come back. We got this date in football. We got a few items from around the National Football League, the Baptist Health checkup around the NFL. Mike Dempsey in. Fat Tony's on assignment. ET here with me. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, I got one item for this date in football history. It is March the 30th, and we go back to 1935, the birth of one Willie Gallimore. Started mentioning him in the last few years when we've been doing this segment at this time. Willie Gallimore, a St. Augustine resident back in the day, played for a school called St. Augustine Excelsior, and went on to play at Florida A&M University. And I was reading a little bit more about him tonight. I knew he was big in the civil rights movement. There's the Willie Gallimore Center in St. Augustine that is built in his honor in the Lincolnville area. And he was a fifth-round pick of the Bears back in 1956, right? But the fifth round, he was the 58th pick, right? There were not many teams. So being in the fifth round, you were still a highly thought-of guy. Well, the story is with Willie Gallimore, he's a running back, that this scout from the Bears, an assistant coach who was scouting the state of Florida, somebody just gave him a tip. Hey, this kid over at FAMU is pretty good. And he is considered the last great draft find prior to the advent of modern scouting techniques, to where somebody just like, hey, I got an idea for you. Why don't you take this guy you know nothing about up at Florida A&M University named Willie Gallimore? And they did. 58th overall, and it worked out. He played 7 years with the Bears. He did go to a Pro Bowl. He was a big-time civil rights advocate as well, and died tragically with his Bears teammate Bo Farrington in an automobile accident in 1964 at the age of only 29 years old, but obviously left a lasting legacy in the nation's oldest city and beyond. Willie Gallimore would have been 85 years old today, and that's what we have for you on this date in football history.
Now check up around the NFL, brought to you by Baptist Health, changing healthcare for good.
Just a few signings of note. They're not super noteworthy, but we'll mention them going down over the weekend as former Eagles cornerback Ronald Darby gets a one-year, $4 million deal to go play for the Washington Redskins. And I know a lot of Eagles fans are probably happy about that because they felt like Darby hasn't covered many people very well. I think when healthy, he's been pretty solid, actually, in his career. 1 year, $4 million, probably a decent risk for the Redskins there. That you compare to the contract that Geronimo Allison got. Also stayed within the division up in the NFC North as the Green Bay Packers don't show any interest in re-signing Geronimo Allison. Keep in mind right now, probably number two on their depth chart is former Jaguar practice squatter Alan Lazard. But regardless, Allison gets a one-year deal with the Detroit Lions for the princely sum of $900,000. Hey, that's a lot of money. Not in NFL circles. It is not. But nevertheless, he gets that. And we know the Michael Brockers deal fell through with the Baltimore Ravens. Everyone was raving about how he was going to line up next to Calais Campbell there. And, oh, the Ravens are killing the offseason. Then they didn't like the medicals, the MRI on the ankle. He had gotten a high ankle sprain late in the season last year, and the Ravens backed off that deal, according to Peter King of Football Morning in America. And with that, he became a free agent once again, and basically the Rams said, well, we'll sign you for that contract. Now, the interesting thing is the Rams, who's the guy they got from the former Georgia Bulldog, the pass rusher they got from the Chicago Bears, Leonard Floyd, signed to a one-year deal. There had been some talk that right now, because none of these contracts are really finalized, you don't have to have all the cap space for these guys at the moment. It's kind of like a little bit of a gray area technicality that people are questioning whether or not they actually have enough to sign both of these guys, and that could they just squat on them for a while until they clear some cap space or maybe make some more moves or whatever down the line. So either way. The Rams lost Greg the Leg this weekend. You see that? He signed with the Dallas Cowboys. They also signed Dontari Poe on the defensive line. But Greg the Leg was a guy who at least you felt that if you got within range of a 60-ish yard field goal, he could put points on the board for you, right? A cannon of a leg. So everything that detracts from the success of the LA Rams in 2020 is a positive for the Jacksonville Jaguars, owners of the Rams' 2021 first-round pick. So Greg the leg gone. Hopefully Michael Brockers. I'm sure he's a heck of a guy. Hope that issues with that high ankle sprain don't linger. Wink, wink, he said. All right, there you have it, your Baptist Health checkup around the National Football League. Coming up, we'll check in with another one of our great local sponsors here, Universal Roof on the other side, tell you what they're doing to stay kind of COVID-19 compliant. And again, you got roof issues, man. Can't wait. You got a leak in your roof? That's not going to wait out a home quarantine. All that's going to do is bring ruin to your dwelling there. So we'll talk to them on the other side. Frank Frangie's going to pop in, voice of the Jaguars as well. Want to get into this Jordan Love hysteria. I don't know how to explain it, that all of a sudden he's being connected with the Jaguars everywhere you look, including a draft out on CBS this morning from Ryan Wilson just today, where he projects the Jaguars to take two picks, combine them with the 20th to trade up three spots to make sure they don't get jumped for Jordan Love. In a three-round mock draft, we'll tell you who else he had the Jaguars selecting in that one. That's coming up. It's Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey and ET here with you on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Everything you need to know about the Jags. Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, we got Frank Frangie coming up here, voice of the Jaguars. I'll ask him, is it his fault? Well, somebody's got to be at fault here. This obsession with Jordan Love, E. Where did it start? Is it a Prisco thing?
It might be.
Is he feeding these CBS guys this idea of Jordan Love to the Jaguars? I don't know. But in the meantime, hold that thought. We'll get to that. Let's welcome in one of our great sponsors here on 1010XL in the person of Chris Archer, the director of sales for Universal Roof. We tell you about those guys all the time. And look, what I tell you is, your roof, if you've got an issue, it waits for no one, virus or not, no matter what the circumstances out there, you cannot put that off. If you've got roof damage, you'd want to protect your biggest investment. That's your house. You got to protect the thing that protects it. That's the roof. And Universal Roof does a great job with that. Chris Archer joins us now, the director of sales. Chris, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
We're doing okay. How are you and yours getting through these last few weeks? Everybody okay on your end?
Yeah, everybody's great. It's been a challenge, but, you know, we're trying to do the next right thing for everybody.
No doubt about it, man. And Chris, I do talk about Universal a lot here, and as I point out, and correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, look, if you've got a leak, you can say, hey, it's not the best time, it's not convenient. You can't put that off. You've got to deal with your roof. You got to protect your investment, your home. What has Universal done to take some steps above and beyond to make sure that everybody's being safe, both on from your standpoint and for your customer's standpoint as well?
Yeah, so definitely the leak's not going to solve itself, and it is a huge investment. We understand that. So what we've done is we're certainly following the CDC guidelines about the social distancing, the in-person appointment, as well as we've come up with a remote appointment. So we're able to actually see the clients in-home. We don't have to come into the home. We can handle everything remotely. But we do have to get onto the roof to do a proper evaluation of the roof and the perimeter as well.
So right now, what kind of deals or specials, what's going on with Universal that would intrigue some potential clients out there?
So we've opened up some extensive financing investment options for the clients. So, you know, keep your money, keep it while you need it. We've gone to as far as 18 months, no interest, no payments.
Wow, that's pretty good. And you guys are known for having the best warranties in the industry as well. Why is that so important when you talk about the climate? There's so many competing roof companies out there. To know you've got that peace of mind, why is that so important for you and your clients?
Sure. So for the clients, the warranties are really everything. You know, what's going to happen in 5, 10, 15 years? Who's going to be there to take care of you? And what type of warranty is it? Is it the declining scale warranty, or are we going to take care of not just the material, but the labor as well?
Now, Chris, if folks have had roof issues or maybe some crop up in the weeks to come here, what's the best way for them to start the process? You've got universalroof.com. You can also call 855-ROOF-HELP. Do you have a preference for how they get the ball rolling in these particular times?
we don't have a preference, but we do want you to reach out to us. You know, like you made a statement earlier, the roof's not gonna heal itself.
Right. There's certain issues in life. You got to deal with them, or you try to put them off. It's just going to make it worse. Go with the best right up front, and that's Universal Roof. You're going to get quality workmanship and the nation's best warranty. It's what they've been known for, and they've earned that distinction. Again, universalroof.com is where you'll find them online, or you can call 855-ROOF-HELP. Don't put it off. You'll find you're going with the best. Chris Archer, the director of sales at Universal Roof. Chris, we encourage you, if you've got a message to get out anytime in the upcoming weeks, please do let us know. We're here not only for our listeners, but for our local businesses as well. I think it's a pretty good symbiotic relationship. We got to keep everybody strong here in Jacksonville.
Yeah, we appreciate you guys too. Everybody stay healthy. Please follow the guidelines. Stay clean. Wash your hands.
No doubt, brother. Hey, Chris, we'll talk soon, buddy. Thanks for coming on today.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. Chris Archer, Director of Sales with Universal Roof. And, again, we'll feature our sponsors throughout the day. And, look, it's an important time for these folks as well. And it's not just about the almighty dollar. For us, it's certainly advertising is the lifeblood of the radio industry. But these businesses, man, they're going on. There are a lot of people, your family, your friends, your neighbors, being impacted by economic conditions out there. So as much as you possibly can, support these local businesses if you have a need. All right. Well, we welcome in the one, the only, Frank Frangie. What's up, bro? How are you?
What's up, Mike?
How are things at the Frangie household?
You know what? Like everybody else, a little nervous, but I think everybody's doing what we're supposed to be doing. I think we're staying our 6 feet, not doing a whole lot. You know, we were a go-out family. We would go out. Suzanne and I'd go to restaurants here or there, and so now we're picking up food to try and support the local economy like you just did on air. But yeah, we're good. It's just, Mike, it's just still surreal, man, for me. I mean, I'm a sports watcher, you know. I'm the guy. I'm always watching. It's just surreal.
I will not go the length though, I know the guys on the drill mentioned it this morning. I've had other people talk to me about it. Like, there some outfits are getting into simulating like video game reenactments of great games or whatever, and people are betting on them. People have asked me, would you consider playing a fantasy league based on that? I'm like, no, I wouldn't. Not for me personally. Yeah. You know, like, I'm okay. We're going to make it through. I can relive some past great sporting events, you know, and spend time hunkering down with the family. I do not need to go the video game reenactment route.
Yeah, and I saw somebody ask you that, if you'd play in a fantasy league. Yeah. I saw it on Twitter. For me, everyone's got their own thing, right? We all have our thing we do to get by. The beauty is now YouTube, because back in the day, well, did I have that game on tape? Do I have that Jags Titans game on my VHS? Remember the day?
Sure.
And then more recently, the DVR. Well, what if you want to see a certain game, but I forgot the tape? Well, now they're all there.
Yeah.
If you want to go watch Yankees Red Sox, Mike, from 2002, whatever, and remember Joe Blow hitting the home run, it's on YouTube. And for sports nuts like us, that's kind of a cool thing. So I watch concerts on TV all the time. God bless YouTube. Whoever started YouTube, thank you. No, forget all the rest of the world. Thank you for YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube's got a lot going for it. I'm sure they're getting a lot of clicks.
Yeah, they're doing very well.
These times.
YouTube stock is probably doing very well.
The mock drafters are looking for clicks, Frank. But what is this sickness that has come over them, this Jordan Love flu that they have?
Oh, I told Prisco, I said,
Is he the one that's driving this?
It's Pete's fault. And I said, Pete, listen. Just, you got to listen. No. And he goes, but in fairness to Pete, he says, look, I got to put one out every week, okay? So I'm changing it around every week. There's no Jordan Love. I said this many times. I try to explain to people. They don't trade. Say what you want about Nick Foles. He played like 4 plays. He was here like 12 minutes, and he's gone. They don't move. Forget the money. Forget everything else. Forget Coughlin's guy versus Caldwell guy. They don't move on from Nick Foles if they don't think they got something in this guy. If they don't think they've got something.
Or at least are not willing to give him the season to find out. You know what I mean?
Correct. And so that's right. So they're not going to move on from a guy that might have been a good insurance policy and then go draft a guy that you had nothing about. Then that's not happening. And I will go to my grave saying that. And if I'm wrong, then I'm the dumbest guy in town.
You're going to have a lot of company, right? Yeah. Because like Ryan Wilson's mock today, he actually had the Jaguars giving up a couple of fourth-round picks to move up three spots from 20 to 17 to make sure nobody jumped them for Jordan Love. If they really were in a situation where they liked him that much, we can't possibly miss him, you take him at 9.
Right.
You don't sit there and go, man, maybe we'll get lucky and he falls to 20.
And if you take a guy at 9, he's your guy.
Then he's your guy, right? So, sometime in the next 2 years, you're handing the keys to him and saying, drive this car.
Right. So no, there's no Jordan Love. I will say this. Because of the free agent activity, it changes a little bit. I now think they're out of play for Isaiah Simmons. I don't know if he was their guy at all, but I think the one thing Schobert does and the extension you gave Miles Jack, I've got to believe that takes Isaiah Simmons out of play, whether he's there or not.
You would think so, unless they have some plan to play him at safety, as you know, some have suggested he could. But I never really liked that. I mean, it's great that you're a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah.
Be great at something. You know what I mean?
And you don't go that way very often, Mike. You go safety to outside linebacker. You don't go outside linebacker to safety.
I understand.
That does, so I don't think they're doing – but so, yeah.
He actually played in the middle a lot. Now, look, if you told me that they were going to, like, a full-time 3-4 and had a vision that he could rush the passer off the edge. But I'm with you. He's never been high on my list of guys.
I still think as far as draft goes, not much has changed. They've got to get some big people, whether that's Derrick Brown, if Becton's there, whether it's Becton, and then they get the DL later. But I still think cornerback and big people are where they have to go.
Does it amuse you? I went through some of the needs, Frank, through the perspective of some of the national writers out there. I thought NFL.com actually put together a pretty good needs list for this team. Corner, D-tackle, edge rusher, offensive line, running back. All right. They're paying attention, right?
Agree on all.
You go to Sports Illustrated and they say, well, here are the ones, let's start with the ones they don't have a need for. Offensive line and linebacker, right? So it's like, it's like, did they listen to Caldwell at the combine and say,
we think that's
a strength and we like our line. Yeah, they like their linebacker group so much that they went out and just spent a whole lot of money to upgrade it.
Yeah, we all understand the gamesmanship of it, and Dave is very good at the gamesmanship of it. Obviously, they've got to replenish their offensive line. No matter how much they say they like their offensive line group and they're trying to get other people to hear that, Mike, obviously we all know they're going to draft a tackle. Whether it's Becton at 9, whether it's Joe Blow at 20, whether it's Joe Blow's brother at 42, we all know somewhere along the line they're taking an offensive tackle.
You know, there's a few mocks I've seen out there, and you know, mocks are what they are, right? Because once you get one or two picks that you're wrong on, well, it could throw everything off that falls.
Right.
But there are a few that I've seen where they don't go offensive tackle really early, but then they spend like a fourth, a fifth, and a sixth round pick on the position. And I'm okay with that. Throw enough at it. There are plenty of offensive linemen that are long-term starters in the National Football League that came out of the later rounds. I mean, you know, I'm not saying you don't take a premium guy when he's there, but you have a lot of premium needs on this football team as well. So if they don't take Mekhi Becton or a first-round guy on the offensive line, that doesn't mean they're not going to address
it. Yeah, that's the beauty of all the picks. It makes the draft.
I mean, I love the draft anyway, but that draft 12 going in.
Let me ask you this, because this is what I get asked all the time. I play a little bit of golf. We talk about it on our show. Where are you, and it's a big, broad, dumb question, but indulge me, on how good they could be? Because I've heard
how good the Jags could be.
I mean, are you in the – I don't sense that you're in the camp that no matter what, they're going to suck.
I don't, but, I mean, it depends on what you define as suck, right? I mean, a lot of people think 6-10 sucked. I think they could easily be a 6-10 team.
Okay.
Again, I think they could be –
What's the ceiling?
Right now?
Yeah,
well, I don't think it's very high right now.
They got 12 picks.
If they get – right. Well, that's the thing. If they get – let's say they get three surefire starters with the first three picks.
Right.
They get a corner, they get a defensive tackle, and they get –
Whatever,
offensive lineman, whatever the case may be. I mean, look, they won 6 games out of Gardner's 12 starts last year. And I know people, some look at it, some locally, a lot nationally, and say, well, they're dumping talent, right? Well, I know for a fact, and I know you do as well, they don't think Calais Campbell is a $15 million a year player or played anywhere close to that level.
Same with Boye.
So PFF can rank him the number one run defender in the league and all these different things. They internally didn't feel like he played to that stature. And I don't – look, are they going to miss something not having Calais? Absolutely. He's still a good player, right? He's more important to a contender right now. I don't know. Right now, I think the upside that I feel without seeing how the draft plays out is probably they could be in contention for the last wild card spot.
See, correct. Here's my whole point on this, and I think you answered it perfectly. Look, there's enough good players on the team. They have some good players. Okay, let's assume Ngakoue is going to be on the team for the sake of the discussion.
Well, that'd be a big help.
Okay, let's assume he's going to be on the team. Between Josh Allen and Ngakoue and Schobert and Miles Jack and hopefully who they draft at 9, right? I still think Al Woods, if you're going to play any kind of a 3-4, he's a big two-gap guy. I think Chark's a good player. I think
Gunter's a good player.
I think Gunter's a pretty good player. I do too. So and then there's enough guys on offense. So here's what I think. Here's what I think about this team. If they've got 12 picks. If they get a few good players, then it all comes down to one freaking thing. It's a quarterback's league. And if your quarterback's good, they can have a good team. And people look at me like I'm a homer. Well, I am a homer. I'm always glasses half full guy. Mike, you and I have known each other 25 years. You know I'm like that. But the truth of the matter is, I do believe in my heart of hearts, if your quarterback's good, I mean good. He was 21 touchdowns and 6 picks last year on a really flawed team.
We said it earlier, and many have. If he was the 35th pick
correct.
Of the draft,
you'd be thrilled.
You'd be like, holy cow.
The sky's the limit.
Right, he should have gone in the first round, but we'll be happy to take him in the second.
Yes. So if he's really good, which he might be really good, Doug Marrone told me, I said, what is it about him? I said, Doug, I get these Fridays with Doug, and I get to just Doug and I talk. Nobody else is around. We just talk. I said, what is it? He said, Frankie, this was midseason. He says, I've never been around a guy at any position that comes into the league and you give him this and he gets it that quickly and can take it to the field that quickly. That has nothing to do with how talented you are or aren't. That's processing, understanding what we want you to do, and not messing it up. It's almost like a golfer where you teach him this new right-to-left swing, this knockdown shot. Well, it's going to take him a while to get it. Well, some guys get it immediately. He said Gardner gets it. The reason we're all abuzz about the guy is he gets that faster than anybody I've ever seen. It's just me and Marrone standing in the hall talking in the stadium. He gets that. It's so quickly. So if he's pretty good, they can have a decent team. No, they're not winning 13 games, but if he's pretty good, yes, they can be a wild card team. If he's not, if he has a sophomore slump and they missed on a couple draft picks, they can also win a 3 or 4
sure,
win team.
Sure, right. And there is that range where the league figures them out.
Right.
I mean,
That's right.
Grant, like, I can't know. None of us can know, right?
Correct.
It happens sometimes. Guys have sophomore slumps. Other guys, that guy Dan Marino had a pretty good second year, right? I mean, he set records that stood for decades in his second year. I'm not saying that Gardner has to be
that. Go either way.
I'm just saying, right, there's a range where they could fall. I mean, they won 6 out of 12. He was a 500 quarterback being thrown into the fire. You know, we don't know. Everyone's kind of be thrown in the fire a little bit this offseason.
Yeah, and he's won 6 out of 12, let's be honest, with a really bad defense.
Right.
I mean, the defense matters on how a quarterback plays because are you playing uphill the whole time? Or are you trying to play from behind the whole time?
Now that you say that, Darius gone, Calais gone, Boye gone, Schobert added. And you could talk about Rashawn Melvin and some of these other guys. Right now, I'd say they probably have lost more than they've gained, but the draft's still to come.
12 picks.
Right.
12
picks. Right. And what they do with those picks, combining them to move up for more premium players.
And a handful of premium. So again, you think the same way I do. Yeah, they may suck, but they also might be okay.
Right.
Pretty good.
Right. And I don't think that's being I think that's just reality in the National Football League. You watch it long enough. What do you have coming up on your show today?
You know, we're going to do some fun stuff. We got some fun either or stuff. We're going to start talking a little bit about, we're going to break down sports movies a little bit by sport, but also a little bit of this. How good can they be? And are people, what is causing people to have the projections they do either way? What's causing you? So we got a lot of fun stuff.
I'm going to go with the breaking away in the bicycle racing movie category.
That's a,
you can have all the others.
You think they're on the one line?
Are there any others?
So you think in the
they
in
the, are the one
so
line.
So you think in the bicycle category, they're on the one line for
sure. I think they are the line. They're all the lines. They're the category.
They're on every line.
There may be another one. I don't know. But
right,
good movie. We'll see you, Frank. Thank you, buddy. Okay, the voice of the Jaguars, Frank Frangie, coming up this afternoon with Lauren Brooks, Hayes Carline, and the crew at 3 o'clock here on 1010XL. All right, we'll, on the other side here, take a look at your responses to the two questions of the day. 5 current most indispensable Jacksonville Jaguars, and imagine what your reaction would be if the Jags did pull the trigger on Jordan Love, the quarterback out of Utah State with the 20th pick in the NFL draft. We'll get into both of those on the other side. Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. We'll be right back.
All Jags, all NFL. Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Ah, such a great era for Michael Jackson right there, wasn't it? Come on. Off the wall, E.
Girl.
Close your eyes, let the rhythm. Oh, come on. You don't know the words?
No, no.
I can't sing it, but you could dance to it. I've seen that. Don't try to fight it, E. There ain't nothing that you can do. All right? We got this one on Twitter from Down by Law Jags fan. He mentioning Willie Gallimore earlier. You know, Jake Gaither was the coach of FAMU. He said he liked his players agile, mobile, and hostile. That's pretty good. That holds up over time.
What movie is that?
That's not a movie. That's Jake Gaither, the coach of FAMU, saying he liked his players agile, mobile, and hostile. That's real life.
But didn't they say it in the movie?
I don't know. Did they? If they did, they were copying Jake Gaither.
Absolutely.
I take it anyway. I couldn't have quoted him on that before that, but I like the saying nonetheless. All right, let's get into this before I waste too much time, which I have a tendency to do. We'll start with question number one. I gave you my five most indispensable current Jaguars on the roster. I left out Jan. He's not technically on the roster. You can include him however you want to handle it. I went with Minshew. Went with Josh Allen, DJ Chark, Juwan Taylor, and I put Joe Schobert in there. In fact, I've seen Bill Shields send me that exact list. Allen, Chark, Taylor, The Show, and Jaguar King, as you may now refer to Gardner Minshew as, Jaguar King. Let's see, Chad Kuhn goes Josh Allen, Minshew, Chark, Taylor, and Linder. Maybe I'll just mention the ones that haven't been mentioned here. A lot of votes for Lambeau. I get it. I do get it. Who is the who is a closer? I bring this up from time to time. There was a closer that the Miami Marlins, or they're the Florida Marlins at the time, signed back like in 95. Brian somebody. He was he closed for the Angels prior to that. Anyway. And the idea was, well, you're an expansion team. Is this the best use of resources to bring in a closer? And whoever was in charge of the team at the time said, hey, look, we may not win many games, but when we're in position to win, we want to develop a winning culture. So let's have a guy that if we pay off our hard work with a lead heading into the ninth inning, we get a chance to close things out here. And I think you can make the same case for Lambeau. We may not win a lot of games, and if we do, we may play a lot of tight ball games. How important is it to have one of the most accurate kickers in NFL history who's been nothing but freaking clutch as can be since the Jaguars signed him? Just crazy to think about, right? Not good enough to stick with the Chargers. Couldn't stick with them. The Chargers went through two or three kickers since then. Some guy, you know, you just find the right situation and you fall into it.
Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, exactly. Not good enough for the Dolphins. Goes to Tennessee, catches lightning in a bottle. Now he's making $29 million a year. So go figure. Let's see what else here. A lot of the same ones here. Some votes for Fournette in there, and I can understand that as well, particularly for 2020. That's really what we're talking about for this one-year window. Who's indispensable? Fournette had 1,600 yards of offense running through him last year. What's behind him, right? I mean, you may be excited about the idea of Rock Armstead. It's unproven, though, at this point. But when we get Cam Akers in the third, we'll have a backup plan. That'd be sweet. I like Cam in the third. I saw this one mock-E. I was just looking. Akuda at 9, which I can get down with. Yetur Gross-Matos, the pass rusher out of Penn State. Doesn't really address defensive tackle at all in these picks, but they get Cam Akers in the third, and they end up, the Jags take two offensive tackles in the fourth and another one in the sixth round. And I think that's one decent way to approach it. You know, throw all those picks, let them all come in and compete. Maybe one of them ends up on the practice squad. Maybe another one's depth. Maybe one of them wins a starting job. Who knows? Plenty of offensive linemen. Great offensive linemen. Plenty of great players, let's be honest, that come from all ranges in the draft. And I get it. The Jags have always been a team. Their philosophy under Dave Caldwell, and you can laugh at, this is their philosophy. Whether they execute it or not is up to you to determine. But one great player better than three good players, right? So they've always been hesitant to move down. Would you rather have one great offensive lineman? Well, sure. You only have so many picks where you're going to potentially be drafting great players, though, right? You know, 9, 20, 42. I mean, you can find great players at other spots, but some luck involved in that. Anyway, I kind of like that, getting the three offensive tackles, getting Cam Akers in round three. They drafted a couple wide receivers. This is one mock I saw out there, you know. And I do have a fascination with Okuda throughout this draft process. Cam Robinson gets a vote here from JagFan15 as one of the five most indispensable. Let's see if I – Trey Herndon. At worst, says Baxter Hill, he is one of the better number two corners in the league. Well, let's hope. Okay, but that's what we're asking for today. Joseph at Spiking TD said Alan Chark and whoever they take with picks 9, 20, and 42. Well, those guys are not on the roster yet, so strike that as non-responsive, but I see where you're going. Vote for Ronnie Harrison here. More Minshew love. A lot of people voting for Lambeau on here. So that pretty much covers it. Yeah, I don't think KPMC, KP McCurry, I don't know. It's tough to read people's Twitter handles sometimes.
If you didn't have Schobert on that list, who else would you have? Yeah.
I'll cheat and put Jan on there. This one, Taven Bryan, Josh Oliver, Quincy Williams, Andrew Wingard, and Michael Walker. Return man extraordinaire. I don't know. Lambeau is pretty close. I mean, ultimately, I might go Fournette. You got to have – I mean, imagine if you didn't have Fournette. Right? I mean, you're going to have some balance to that offense. You can't just put it all on Gardner's shoulders. He had a 1,600-yard guy last year. That certainly contributed to him going 21-6 in the touchdown interception department. So I might go Fournette, at least for 2020. Now, you can replace that, but they don't have that replacement. Like, ultimately, I'm fine if they move on from Fournette after this year, but you got to replace him. And that guy then maybe becomes one of the five most indispensable guys if he hits right away. Running backs can hit. Right away. Third-round running backs can hit right away. When they drafted Fournette in the third round that year, Alvin Kamara and Kareem Hunt. But now, Kareem Hunt's had off-the-field issues, no doubt. He's also led the league in rushing. Right? Clearly, third-round running backs can hit in a big way. Now, what would your reaction be? The question, how would you feel about the Jaguars drafting Utah State quarterback Jordan Love with the 20th pick in next month's NFL draft? We talked about this a little bit on Friday. Not down with this plan whatsoever, but I thought it was amusing to see what the reactions would be. A bunch of GIFs and memes showing people like incredulous or sick or just not very positive. So we'll skip those, and then we'll get to some of the other written out reactions. Scott says no. I don't know what. How would you feel? No. If they really think they need quarterback in the first round, trade up for Tua, otherwise roll with Minshew and build around him. Okay, he's saying no, you shouldn't have done that. Another one here from Cobalt Blue. No, this regime doesn't get another dip in the quarterback pond, sink or swim time. Isn't Minshew a dip in the quarterback pond from last year? Anyway, let's see. CG said this regime should not be allowed by Khan to draft another first round quarterback. Let the next regime do it. Let's see. Nobody thinks it's a good idea, right? Just on and on and on. Well, here we go. Rodgers was the 24th pick. Granted, we don't have Favre playing, but if they think this guy could be the next Rodgers and he's there at 20, you take him. If you think he's, but they continue, if you think he's the next Rodgers, you take him at 9. That's my point. It's one thing for the Ravens a couple years ago to go, you know what? We're a contender. We're, you know, generally, you know, annually, generally contending for a playoff spot. And we'll take Hayden Hurst here. And then, you know what? All right, he's still hanging out there. All right, we'll trade up and take a shot on Lamar Jackson. Yeah, you could. In that scenario, I get it. You're a contender. You're grabbing him, especially because there's the benefit. Get him in the first round. You got the fifth-year option. You can extend that rookie deal out a little bit more. But it's not like you're hanging your hat on him. I think for a team that has so many holes, picking somebody at 20, you're hanging your hat on that guy, whoever he is at whatever position he's playing, that he's going to be an integral part of your football team for a while. And if you feel that way about a quarterback, what are you doing passing him up at 9 and hoping he falls to you at 20? This doesn't make any sense to me. So people would not be on board with that. Last one, the analytics dude, he calls himself, says terrible idea for several reasons in order. A, Gardner freaking Minshew. B, Love wasn't any good last year against good or bad competition. C, there are plenty of good impact players available at 20, and D, they need so much. So, there. With that being said, we welcome in the illustrious XL Primetime.
Now, the two-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Craving queso? Get a free kids meal with your order, plus free delivery. Order in the app or online at Moe's.com.
Josie in the house, a little Joseph.
Hello, hello, hello.
How was your weekend?
It was good, filled with family and backyard. I tell you what, if I didn't have like a nice setup in the backyard, I'd probably go a little bananas. But, you know, went to the beach on Saturday before they said no
Shut
more.
Her down.
No more.
Yeah, we're a little slow in St. Johns County. Well, we'll get around to it.
Here's what I love. They took away all the parking and let people still walk on the beach. And then the next thing you know, you had parking around A1A, which is not the safest thing.
Right.
And then they finally said, you know what, we kind of need to mesh these two together. If we took away parking, maybe we should take away the beach. And now there's a petition and all that kind of stuff. And I totally get it because there are people, like I got a buddy who seriously needs some therapy or he's going to go bananas. And going out and surfing is his therapy. And so I can understand why St. Johns County residents would be a little ticked off. And we'll find out what happens.
Yeah, I mean, look, there are going to be people ticked off, people inconvenienced. Yeah. I mean, it's going to ebb and flow. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I mean, we're all probably going to be inconvenienced in one way or
You're
another.
You're not going to make them all happen.
Right. Knock on
wood.
We've been very fortunate here at 1010XL that we have not had much of an upset in our routine.
No.
Keep on doing our thing. Joe, what's up with the Jordan Love Fest?
I don't know. I have a son-in-law named Jordan. I don't know if I'm going to put him in that 9 or 20 slot.
How about Ryan Wilson mocking that the Jags would trade up, spend 2 fourth-rounders to move up 3 spots to make sure they don't get jumped for a guy that they could have had 11 picks earlier?
And just to defend Ryan a little bit, not like he needs it, but these guys are tasked with coming up with any different scenario once a week from like September on. And so we knew once Pete put that out there, Pete Prisco from CBS Sports, that he had him taking Love at 20, that people were going to latch on to that because you always say, hey, he must have heard something, et cetera, et cetera. And we had Ryan Wilson on last week before this came out, and we were having fun with him, just talking about just the way people are looking at Jordan Love, period. And I just don't have a very high opinion of him. I may be dead wrong.
Look, he may click. I don't think this team's in a position for a number of reasons to make that move now.
Well, it just got so many other things to deal with. Either you're going up and you're getting the elite of the elite, or you're riding with G. And I think Gardner Minshew, there's nothing wrong with riding with that and arming him with some additional weapons.
If you're convinced that there's a quarterback in this draft that is the franchise, then take him at 9.
Yeah. Well, exactly. I mean,
right? If you're really that convinced.
And this is what we said last week, because why would you wait till 20? Exactly what
right,
you're
you
saying.
Right, you wouldn't pass on Tua and then hope Tua falls to you at 20.
And we said this last week with Pete putting him in there, and the Daniel Jones Giants decision was just that. Everyone says, no one was going to take him. You don't take that chance. Can't take that
you
chance.
You don't take that chance when it comes to a quarterback. Joe, have a great show.
All right, man, thanks.
All right, Joe C. and the crew with XL Primetime coming your way for the next 3 hours. That'll about do it for us today here on the program. Thanks to ET for running things smoothly as always. Fat Tony out on assignment, hopefully back with us tomorrow. Thanks for Frank Frangie for stopping by as well. And all of you out there in Radio Land, continue to be sensible. Don't be crazy. Just do the things the medical professionals tell you to do. We're all in it together, and we will get through it stronger than ever on the other side. So with that being said, that'll do it for us. Back again tomorrow with 2 more hours of Jaguar Talk from 10 to noon right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Yo, Jacksonville, let's go to the...